We're going to continue on with our series, When the Church Prays. And today, I'm going to be talking about the attitude of prayer. Everybody say attitude. Everybody has one. Y'all didn't say that. But it's true. Everybody has one. It can be good or bad, all right? But we're talking about an attitude of prayer. Our attitude, listen, our attitude can propel us to the things of God, or it can prevent us from moving forward in the things of God. Our attitude can. It can propel us forward, or it can keep us from moving forward. Our attitude, think about this, our attitude is expressed in our behavior. Oh, man, have you ever told someone, man, you need an attitude adjustment? Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, you need an attitude adjustment? I mean, our attitude is so important, my friends. And we're going to be talking about a passage of scripture in the Bible that many of you might know, some of you may not. It's in Acts chapter 16, and Paul is actually out on his missionary journey, and he comes to the region of district of Macedonia, and he comes to the one of the major cities there, Philippi, in Acts 16. And what's interesting about this passage of scripture, and I've read this chapter over and over again, and I love this story that takes place here, but I don't know why this is the first time I even noticed this, is that when Paul and Silas, and by the way, if you go read, Dr. Luke was with them on this journey. He joined them on this journey. Why he didn't experience everything they experienced, I don't know. But he was an eyewitness account. You know, Luke wrote, obviously, the Gospel of Luke. He also wrote the book of Acts. But he was with them on this journey, as the Scripture communicates. And what really jumped out at me is that when Paul and Silas and Luke got to Philippi, they went and they started looking for a group of people praying. I never even noticed that from the beginning. I mean, because we know the, and I'm about to get to the scripture, but they started looking for people that were praying. And the Bible says in Acts 16, 13, on the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we thought people would be meeting for prayer. And that scripture's been there the whole time, and I've never really even paid attention to it. It's just been, I mean, they got to Philippi and started looking for praying people, a corporate body of believers that were spending time together in prayer. Oh, when the church prays. And then you go, and this is the part of the scripture many of us focus on. And verse 16 of Acts 16, it says, one day as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. And if you continue to read that, it says that this slave girl followed them day after day. And that would imply that day after day, they were going to the place of prayer. And this slave girl continued to follow them around, telling them, you know, saying, these are men of God. You know, they carry salvation, and saying these things. And she was saying the truth, but it was from the wrong heart and the wrong spirit. And that's a different message. I can't spend time there. But she was saying something that sounded true, but really, it was from the wrong heart. In the wrong spirit. And the Bible says in the New Living Translation, it uses this word, Paul became exasperated. Have you ever been exasperated with someone? It says Paul became exasperated. And one day he turns around and casts the demon. Let me be very clear here. The Bible says he spoke to the demon. He loved the girl. But he spoke to the demon and said, come out. And the girl was delivered. The demon came out, and she's delivered from this demon, all right? And well, when that happened, man, her owners, because remember, it's a slave girl, her owners became very upset at Paul and Silas. I mean, they were very upset because that was their way. She was their way of making money, making profit. That's how they made money. And so they get very agitated. They get very mad at Paul and Silas. And let me just throw this right in right here. You know, is that how you can tell when a spirit's not the right spirit and when that spirit's only focused on blessing you and nobody else. Wow. Because that's what that spirit was in that girl. It brought money to them. And when it was only about, if it's only about you, man, it's quiet. The first service got this quiet too, so I won't hold it against you. But they were so irritated that they brought Paul and Silas before the people. And they lied about Paul and Silas. And here's what the Bible says, is that they were beaten with rods and then cast into the inner dungeon. And as you read in the scriptures in verses 23 and 24, it says they were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. At this point, Paul and Silas had a decision to make. They were either going to have pity or they were going to have power. They were either going to be pitiful or they were going to be powerful. At this point, they had a choice to make. Were they going to start singing, "If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all"? And all the hee-haw fans started laughing because they know where that's from. And all the younger generation just said, "What is hee-haw?" Come on, ask your parents, grandparents, they'll tell you what hee-haw was. But adding part of that song, "If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all," then they go, "Oh!" You know? So they had a choice. That's really a pity party. No doubt it was hard. No doubt it was difficult. But they wanted power. They wanted power. And so the Bible says in verse 25, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Wow. Here Luke gives us one of the most beautiful scenes in Scripture. One of the most beautiful scenes in Scripture. Wow. Beaten, bleeding missionaries, their feet in stocks, literally turn the prison into a prayer meeting. Yes, it is powerful, man. Though their bodies were still bleeding, tortured in the stocks, their spirits, under the power of the Holy Spirit, rose above the suffering and made the prison walls resound with song. Wow. If I were to ask you what the walls of your home resound with, what would that be? Come on. Even though their feet were in stocks, Paul and Silas were free from the shackles of a bad attitude. Even though their feet were in stocks, they were free from the shackles of a bad attitude. Attitude. Everybody's got one. They begin to pray and to praise God in that moment. It is wonderful that in such pain, with lacerated backs and aching limbs, Paul and Silas at midnight were praying and singing hymns to God. Wow, 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 wow. No groans, but songs came from their mouths. They didn't curse men, they blessed God. They didn't curse men when they could have, but they blessed God in that moment. Here in this story is a concrete depiction of the Christian ideal of joy amid suffering. Wow. Romans 5 and 3 says we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Anybody ever run into problems and trials? We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. James 1 and 2 says this, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way. Has anybody had troubles of any kind? Come your way. It says in the Bible, consider it an opportunity of great joy. Wow. Even though, listen, please hear me. Even though you may be on your way to heaven, the life that you live on this earth is mostly determined by your attitude. Even though you may be on your way to heaven, the life you live on this earth is mostly determined by your attitude. It's decided by your attitude. Your attitude. Your attitude is the advanced man of your true self. Its roots are inward, but its fruits are outward. Our attitude is our best friend or our worst enemy. It is more honest and more consistent than our words. Our attitude is the librarian of our past. It is the speaker of our present and the prophet of our future. I just feel like I need to say that again. It just sounded good. Our attitude is the librarian of our past. It's the speaker of our present. And it is the prophet of our future. Wow. Man, our attitude. Nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goals on earth. And nothing can help the man with the wrong mental attitude, says Thomas Jefferson. Wow. So I'm going to give you three things very quickly about your attitude, okay? Everybody ready? Are you good? I told you I'm not preaching long today. I'm just going to give you three things. Number one, everybody, come on, ask your neighbor if they're ready. Here's the first thing you need to know about your attitude is we choose our attitude. Your attitude is your decision. Your attitude is your decision. Paul and Silas chose prayer and praise in that moment, in that dungeon where they'd been beaten heavily, stocks on their feet. They chose prayer and praise at that moment. Your attitude really is your choice, my friend. Wow, your prayer attitude is your choice. How you pray is your choice. The Bible says in Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Wow, that's my attitude. That's how I'm approaching God in prayer. Thanksgiving and praise in my life. I choose that. I choose to go into his presence with thanksgiving, with praise in my life. Deuteronomy 30 and 19, and it says this, and Stacy made reference to this, I believe it was last night in our service. Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. And inspired by the Holy Spirit, the writer says this, oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Choose life, death. I mean, positive attitude, negative attitude. Choose. Your attitude is your choice, my friend. It foretells your future. Did you know an attitude can run in families? But I made a decision in my life, and I haven't always been perfect. Anybody here ever had a bad attitude? Come on, yeah, be honest. Just really bad attitude. But I made a decision in my life. There's some things that run through, generational things that run through my family on both sides, and I made a decision that those generational curses are going to stop with me. In Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus Christ, they stop with me. Did you know things can, attitudes can run through families? And if you realize that yours is unhealthy, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, that can be broken in your life. Choose life. Choose a great attitude, my friend. Choose a great attitude. We all get have opportunities in life. But I've seen people over and over and over and over and over again be given an opportunity, and because of their attitude, that opportunity just slips away. Because of their attitude toward it. Wow. A prayer attitude, an attitude of thanksgiving, of praise. That even in the difficult times, God, I'm going to praise you. It's a choice that I make, my friend. It's a choice. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a choice. I haven't always made the right one. I haven't always made the right one. Second thing you need to know about your attitude is not caused by people or circumstances. I'd be happy if it weren't for all the jerks in my life. Oh, you don't know how many times I've thought that. I'd just be happy if it just weren't. But your attitude is not determined by people or circumstances. It's not. Well, here's the deception. All right. If my circumstances were better, I'd have a better attitude. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. You wouldn't. Well, your attitude is not caused by people or circumstances. Paul and Silas had an attitude of praise and prayer there in that dungeon. Certainly, it wasn't determined by their circumstances. It wasn't determined by their circumstances. I mean, it was within them. Rather than being depressed or plotting escape, Paul and Silas displayed confidence in God and put their trust in Him for that moment. For that moment. They put their trust in Him. Habakkuk 3:17 and 18. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will, see that choice there? I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. See, that's a choice. I will. I'm going to praise Him. Even in the difficult times, I'm going to praise Him. Father, forgive me of a bad attitude that I've had sometimes. God, I love you. I praise you. I give my life to you. Because Timothy, the third thing, and the final thing you need to know about the attitude is this, is that if you've struggled with a bad attitude, if you've really struggled with a bad attitude, and you know it, if you're honest with yourself, have you ever met somebody that's just never happy? Never any joy? Everything's negative, 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 negative. Here's what I want to help you with. And I want to let you know that the Holy Spirit will help you. The Holy Spirit has a great attitude. The Holy Spirit's never had a bad attitude. And remember what I said earlier about it being, you know, it's about our inward roots, but it shows in our outward fruits. Our attitude has inward roots that are displayed with outward fruit. What does it say about the Holy Spirit? For the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. What does He produce? He produces this. Love. Joy, joy. Everybody say joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. This is what the Holy Spirit produces in us. Would you say that a person that's producing these things in their life on a consistent basis probably has a pretty good attitude, wouldn't you say? Love, joy, peace. I know we all struggle with it sometimes. But I could not wait for this message. God just so burned it in my heart about the attitude of prayer, how we approach Him in this 10 days of prayer, and as the church prays, how we approach God. How we approach Him. If I spend all week just with a bad attitude, just bad. Nobody enjoys being around me. You know? My wife didn't want to be around me. People in the church don't want to be around me. How difficult it is to walk into the house of God. Oh, God, I love you. To all of a sudden just, I mean, is it a performance then? Or is it real? If all week I've had a sour attitude and then I walk into the house of God with God's people. Just, man, I love you. God, all week long I want to have that attitude of joy. God, I love you. I know what the world looks like. I know. God, I trust you with my life. I love you. I want to have an attitude. God of praise, of joy in my life. Believing the best. Believing the best, God, in others. Believing the best in you, God. With just an attitude of prayer and worship. Father, I love you. And I love your people, oh God. Man, I've been in pastor circles. I've heard them. Oh, if I could just tell you about the people in my church. Man, they're just, oh man, it's just awful. God, man, just a bunch of, oh my God. Man, take a break. Go get some healing. Hop in a wagon and ride a while. Okay? We'll let you ride in our wagon. Be healed. Man, I can't tell you, honestly. I mean, honest from my heart. Just a couple of days ago, I was in my office and I just began to thank God for this place and for you, and just thanked Him so much for my wife and my kids, even though my daughter's difficult. I just began to, God, I love you. And just, you know, I just, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't say that in the first service because you weren't here, you know. And I don't know where Justin was. I guess he's here. And he's sick. Okay, pray for Justin. But just beginning to thank God for Jeannie. And I thought about how if all those years ago, if God hadn't have changed my attitude, by now I'd probably have 3 or 4 wives because nobody would have wanted to live with me. It's true. It's true. You know, I thank God she stuck with me and just fought her way through it. But, I mean, our attitude just determines so much of our life and how we see life and view the world around us. And if you, from the honesty of your heart, God, have I had a good attitude? Have I had a good attitude for my family, toward my kids, my grandkids? Have I had a good attitude toward the church family God's connected me to? You know, have I had a good attitude around my coworkers? You know, when's the last time I just really thank God for my job? That I thanked Him for my job? Because listen, friend, I don't know. I didn't say this in the first service, but I need to say it now. Sometimes you don't know what you have until you have lost it. You do not know what you have. And in some hearts, the enemy has been planting negative about certain things. It's negative. And you've even been listening to voices, negative. And you, my friend, you do not know what you have let go until it's not there. Until it's not there. You do not know. It's not there. And so I'm just going to ask you real quick to examine your heart. What has your attitude been? What has it been? Be honest. I don't think any of us, and we've all had struggles, but I don't think any of us have endured what Paul and Silas endured. Rods beating their back, thrown into. Now, and here's, I'm going to cap it all off with this right here. Did you hear? I want you to. If you go to the beginning of Acts chapter 16, Paul wanted to go somewhere else. And he had a dream of the Spirit of God telling him, no, of a man in Macedonia saying, come over and help us. Paul wanted to go somewhere else. And all he was doing was following the leading of the Spirit to Philippi. And look where it got him. Look where it got him. And some of us have been mad at God. We don't want to say it out loud because we think it's disrespectful to Him or irreverent. But if you're thinking it in your heart, you're thinking it. But we've been mad at God because of circumstances. And I'm just calling you to a higher place of just saying thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for your God, and I love you. He's calling you to a higher place. I mean, Paul, he was going somewhere else, and the Spirit said, nope, you go here. And if I were to ask you right now, does God know our future? Every one of us would say, yes, He does. And so he had to know what was going to be happening to Paul. He had to know. But yet the Spirit still interrupted him and said, don't go there, go here. And you know what Paul did? He just chose to praise. He knew God had a higher calling on his life, that God was still moving in his life, that he'd been directed by the Spirit. Well, won't you stand with me? Those of you at home, thanks for joining us and watching our live stream. And I want to ask you, about this, your attitude. As your pastor, I want to ask you, what has your attitude been? We're in this season of prayer. And a prayer attitude, man, what is that? Well, it begins with thanksgiving and praise to God. Thank you for who you are. You're a mighty God. I love you. And then thanking Him. How many of us have ever used the scripture, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord? Anybody ever used that scripture and quoted it over your life? And then we're in those steps, and then when those steps become something that is unpleasant, instead of prayer and praise, I mean, Paul's steps were ordered by the Lord. They were ordered by the Lord right into a dungeon. Having been beaten with shackles on his feet. But you see, he wasn't shackled to a bad attitude. He was shackled to prayer and praise. And this is just a personal moment between you and God right now. I'm going to ask you to, everybody, just to close your eyes. I want you to ask honestly, Holy Spirit, has my attitude been unhealthy? Has it been bad? Just give it a moment. Watching via our live stream, if you're there, just get quiet before Him and ask Him. I had a bad attitude. listen. If he says yes, you have, just be honest and say, okay, help me, Holy Spirit, have a better attitude about my life, about the things around me, about the places you've led me to, about where my life is at right now. Help me to have a better attitude about it. Help me, Holy Spirit. I'm going to say something. It's going to sound strong. But you can't have a bad attitude and be led by the Holy Spirit at the same time. Because he doesn't produce that. He produces love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, all these things. Self-control. Holy Spirit, lead each one of us and help us in this moment, in this season of prayer. God, I don't want to come to you acting like I'm praising you in one moment, then the rest of the day and the rest of the week just be having a bad attitude. God, I want to have that right attitude every day. I know we all make mistakes. We struggle here and there. But God, whatever it might be we struggle with, help us to have a good attitude about who you are and what you're doing in our life. And Father, set us free from the shackles of a bad attitude. Because we represent you in this earth, God. I love you, Heavenly Father. And may your Holy Spirit, God, work in my life and every person's life to produce the fruit of the Spirit out of our hearts, oh God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.